Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to discuss the issue of how to manage inherited staff. We're going to start with a specific question from someone who recently replaced a workaholic leader and worries that the inherited employees won't respect her. Then we're going to have a general conversation about how to bond with inherited staff.
I like that. I mean, this is such an interesting topic because it's always tricky when you come into a leadership position and you've got staff who've already been there with a different kind of leader.
Yeah.
I hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Let's just get the question, Logan. Let's go right to it.
I recently got a new position as the head of a department, and I inherited three staff who are really smart and hardworking. My predecessor was a workaholic, putting in an average of 80 hours a week and keeping everyone around him very busy. I have a very different work and management style, and I fear that his former employees won't like it and won't respect me because I don't work as hard as he did. I want to keep my staff challenged and engaged, but I may be giving them a different kind of work, and I certainly don't expect them or me to work 80 hours a week. How do I gain their respect and cooperation?
Oh, man.
I mean, I personally would appreciate not working 80 hours a week.
That's what I'm thinking. It may be the complete opposite.
Yeah.
That they like it, but you never know. I mean, they may have liked it. So, but I think you have to meet with them together, maybe, and then meet with them individually.
Separately.
Yeah, to find out.
To find out what their previous experience was, or to find out how they like your new management.
Well, I think it's to let them know that this is the way you work.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you're not, you have, maybe it's a work-life balance thing, whatever it is, that you are not going to be expecting that kind of work out of them. And is that okay with them? And they can go away and think about it, but that it's definitely going to be different.
Yeah.
I mean, respect is not built on the hours of work you put in.
Right. But I can see how that would be intimidating because sometimes if this person, if the predecessor was sort of an heroic or a martyr-like leader, then you coming in and being a regular Joe or Josephine, you may feel like you're less than. I think it's more an issue for the person who's asking the question than probably it is for the staff.
Right. Well, when I'm talking for the staff, I think that respect and trust is built on how you are with your staff,
not on
how many hours you put in. So, I would definitely make a point to. I wonder what this person was doing that the other person doesn't have to do it. Like, what are the other 40 hours? What kind of work? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what that's about, but.
Is that something you could ask them? Ask the employees as you're sitting and meeting with them?
I mean, I'm sure you're going to figure it out.
What special projects did he give you?
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's, and Kathy, you often talk about the value of assessing who was before you just in terms of finding out from the staff what the management style was, what their experience was with the previous boss, right?
Yeah.
How would you uncover that with these employees?
I don't know that I would touch the previous. I don't know that really matters, because they're gone. And I don't even know if the person is gone. Maybe they're still around somewhere. Just, I think you have to talk about what is it that you enjoy about your job? What would you like to grow in?
What are you
working on? What are your goals? And try to make sure that they like the work they're doing and that, they're happy. But I also would let them know that, you know, you have a different style and that you have an open door and you want to make sure that they communicate, you know, or ask you questions if there's something they don't understand or they don't like you know, and that, you know, you want to hear what it is.
So that sounds, that sounds great. It sounds like on the one hand, your focus on developing the staff Mm-hmm. Like finding out for each of them what their goals are and what they what would be interesting work for mm-hmm. them, regardless of what their previous experience was.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then the second part is stylistic. And I actually think what's interesting about if you're not working 8 hours a week and if you're not a worker bee, you're more perhaps a leader who delegates and really parses your time carefully, that you may be more available to them than the predecessor. We don't know, mm-hmm. but that open door mm. could be refreshing change for them.
I mean, right. all staff, when they have a change in leadership, they're either going to like it or they're not, you know, and, yeah. and they have to, you know, react accordingly. So yeah. if they don't like this new person, they're going to move on. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Not everybody likes their new boss. Just because they like, you know, if they like their job, they may not like the new boss. So I would just keep it honest and real and help them move on if it's not the right thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Someone whose work style is different. So, but I would not assume that it's unwanted.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was saying to Kathy earlier, I think when we were talking about this, that it could be like, you know, ding dong, the Wicked Witch is dead, that they yeah. are actually delighted mm-hmm. to be under new leadership.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You just don't know until you start working with them.
Right. I mean, there's a certain amount of sniffing that's going to go on, you know, like when dogs meet each other.
Of
I mean,
course,
there's a certain
yeah.
amount of that that's going to happen.
There's some office hydrants, I'm sure.
Right. Everyone's going to be peeing on them. And, you know, so you have to go through that
yeah.
process.
Yeah.
To see what's going to work and what's not.
Right.
I think the thing also that's interesting, though, about this question is that there is a natural anxiety that comes into place when you're taking on leadership
mm-hmm.
and there's been a predecessor, and especially if it's that person has been there for a significant period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know very often people will come to see you when they get a big promotion or when they're suddenly have a larger management role. And I think a big part of that is that you just need some support because it's a little intimidating
mm-hmm.
to step into someone else's big shoes, even if they were good or bad shoes. Mm-hmm. It's just intimidating to jump in there.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know how many people you have to manage, but I would, you know, maybe have lunch with each one separately mm-hmm. and get to know them and bond with them yourself.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and see what's there.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're so committed to the previous person, then they're going to go find. They're going to either follow that person.
Right.
Or go find another position. And mm-hmm. there's nothing you can really do about that. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
What?
Get real. It is the way it is, and it's. But it still can be challenging if you don't like loss, if you don't like someone not liking you, if you don't like negative attitude, if you get that mm-hmm. from someone, mm-hmm. you know. And we've talked before about sort of sacred cow employees. Sometimes within an organization, there are those people who are like the barnacles on the boat. Mm-hmm. They're not going anywhere,
yeah.
but
mm-hmm.
they may not have the best attitude
right.
with you. So,
yeah, but you know, you have a period, you know, probably 6 months to a year of proving yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, of
to
course.
The staff. They've been there. They hold down the ship. They
yeah.
know what the workload is, and you have to prove that you're honest, you're trustworthy,
yeah.
you're fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to prove to them. So I also think that that's going on too.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to show, don't tell. You have to mm-hmm. demonstrate who you are as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of someone we know who took over an agency and who's a really beloved leader at this point, and she really changed the whole culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not by everybody. She's not beloved by everybody.
Right. Well, those who didn't left, basically, or
mm-hmm.
most of them have left.
Mm-hmm.
Just to what you're speaking to, that if it's not, if the culture you create isn't a good fit, they'll probably self-select.
I mean, her story, I think, is really interesting in that it was the founder was still running the organization, and she was very mission-driven.
Yeah.
And people wanted that. But she hadn't taken it very far. So the new leader comes in and really has taken it very far,
right.
which means that she's expanding it, and there's a lot more money. And in order to do that, the mission is not less. It's just the charismatic leader is gone,
right.
and there's more processes in place. And you're more
right.
disposable because it's not about who's holding hands with the charismatic leader. It's who's producing.
Right.
It changes. So those that wanted a charismatic leader are gone.
Right.
I think that's the way it went there.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and those who wanted a personality-driven mm-hmm. organization, mm-hmm. right, where it's all about each person and who they are and what they bring. And you're right, it changed. It was a cultural transformation that was brought in by new leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So the ways in which you gain respect and cooperation from these people are both the same.
Yes.
Yeah, and actually, I think the person we're speaking of did a very similar thing, right, where she really focused mm-hmm. on each of the staff and mm-hmm. wanted to find out about them and understand their jobs and not make any rash decisions before really getting a sense of the organization as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we could say just remember something that we helped her with, and I think it's important for this other leader to hear, which is that you should never dismiss what came before you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one thing. She really took it in. She really took her time understanding how they got there.
Yeah. Right.
And people need that because they've put years of service into creating something, and you may change it, but not until you fully understand what you're changing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's such a good point.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for anyone who's going into maybe a management role to understand mm-hmm. that whoever you have, if you're inheriting staff, there's things they've been working on for a long mm-hmm. time. There are also things, that they've tried that have worked or not worked that they want you to at least respect their experience, whatever mm-hmm. it was.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that could take a while. Listening to that piece. Yeah. All right. Well, we're not going to bore you with that. So we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back, and we're going to talk about how to bond with inherited staff.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
All right. Well, welcome back. So we're on the topic of how you deal with inherited staff that were there before you came in. And you may be new to the company, so you don't know them. And how do you gain their trust? How do you bond with them?
Yeah. So one thing that I think is actually a good rule, which doesn't sound like how to bond with them, but is to give the whole process some time, right? Mm-hmm. Don't foist yourself upon them.
Yeah.
I know... At least here in New York, people don't like someone who's trying to sell them something very quickly.
Right.
So you giving people time to show you who they are, to tell you about the work they've been doing, is an important aspect of winning their trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think, well, as I said before we went to the break, is the big thing is to really spend your time listening to what their contribution has been,
uh-huh.
like what has been,
mm-hmm.
so that they know that you've taken that in,
mm-hmm.
that you understand before you make any decisions to throw something out, that you've really listened. So that's could be a year, six right. months to a year.
Yeah.
Even if you've been brought in to make quick changes. I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes you're brought in to make quick changes, then you have to do that. But I think you're best to really understand where people are coming from. So then when you tell them why you're making the change, you're acknowledging, thank you so much for getting us here. We couldn't have gotten to this next place without what you've done.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that you're never discounting their old contribution.
I think that's such a good point. And the other thing that I know we've also seen certain leaders do is that you create events that it could be breakfast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that are sort of casual by nature, where you at least have some time to find out about them, mm-hmm. not just in their work role, but about their mm-hmm. lives outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to become best friends with people, but you should definitely care, show that you care about them. And that, I mean, I do like those. I think that woman does breakfast. I think she does where she brings in some food, or they cater breakfast, and everybody just, comes in, has a free breakfast and hangs out.
Yeah.
Is it a hangout, or do they discuss vision?
I don't know, but another ED that we worked with did have breakfast meetings, actually, where she would, again, interview people and really find out about them, both personally and professionally, over bagels and coffee.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we do know, that people like free food. I mean, myself included.
Yes.
So they really like that in the workplace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That they didn't have to prepare their breakfast or lunch, that you catered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, so that's a draw that, that will bring them to the meeting.
Yeah. And I was going to say another thing is probably, like you were talking about listening, I think also noticing is a way to bond. Certainly it is for women. You know, women are like, I like your photos. I see your kids there. I like that, you know, shirt or whatever. We notice that what the person is in, the environment they're in, just making observations at least shows that you're present and, and observant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not just making bonds, but making bonds that are authentic and genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be a real person, whatever that is, whether you have family or you don't have family or you have certain hobbies, you know, show the real person.
Yes. Mm. And then I'd like to make a pitch for not bonding certain ways. Like, it's not good to bond by gossiping about the big boss, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Fun, but not good.
Or we've seen leaders do this, like say, I don't really agree with this, but here's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to bond by
I've
virtue.
Heard that
exactly.
Many a time.
You have, Logan.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
By maybe like assistant managers underneath the managers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, also don't bond on with lavish vacations, your pictures everywhere of how important you are and how much money you have outside of that job, especially for the people that are working for you aren't making that much.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, yeah, don't instill jealousy or braggy, that kind of thing is not usually
will backfire. Yeah, and don't bond playing beer pong or some other.
Yeah, I once had a business owner that would invite people to his house and then he would get them stoned. I think that, and actually my niece works for a woman like that. That backfires.
Yeah. We're not big.
Someone always has a phone.
Yeah,
and that
it's
gets
true.
Uploaded to social media so quickly.
Yeah.
Right. Which is another way not to bond.
Right.
Through social media.
Oh, there we go. Right. Segue.
Right. Unless it's professional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're saying, generally speaking, the way you bond is through listening, finding out about them, sharing
caring.
Maybe a little bit of yourself, caring, showing consistency, demonstrating who you are consistently, and proving yourself trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's patience, because it sounds like this takes quite some time.
Yeah.
On top of all
it
of the other things that you're doing in whatever position you
it
have.
It does.
Yeah. And I have to say one thing that's really striking me as we're talking about this. In this day and age, there very frequently a manager may come in who's younger significantly than the inherited staff that they've got. And I think in those times, respecting the experience of the staff, even if they're in much lower positions than you are, is going to make or break your experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, they will show you how to respect them, you know.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
Not in Kathy.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so join us next time for a My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories about inherited staff to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.